All right, today is Sunday, September 13th, 2020, and with all the difficulty surrounding us, and we still have no idea what the immediate future holds beyond the Ribono Shel Olam, but the government of Israel, let us be mitrakeiz b'dvar Hashem zu halacha. I want to say shivur tov to everyone in front of me. Jack, you were able to pass on the information to Yitzrubin to answer his question? Yeah, okay, good. So that's accomplished. I just want to mention, going back to past Sheyurim, that Rabbi Mark Wiener from Chicago, if you recall, we spoke about riding a bicycle on Shabbos to Shul, the Sfadik community. And here this is Maimar Mordechai, Sfadik Sefer, Siman Mem, let me just see if I can tell if it's Mem He or Mem Chet, sometimes they're printed, Mem He, Simon Mem He, because the next Simon is Mem Vav. And here he produces a tshuva from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and evidently in deal, I don't have the total picture, but if I understand correctly, they were biking from Deal to the coast, to the Atlantic Ocean on Shabbos. It's a nice few kilometer, and I'm positive there's no Erev, and Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu is quite sharp, I would say hysterical, ushering 100%. And of course, that's when you get involved with using a bicycle and you're talking about out of the big cities, then you get involved with chum and erev and all that goes with it, and absolutely forbidden. Another question that has come my way a number of times, and again, I just want to comment very briefly. It seems that in the United States, not only are men holding up women in a divorce, but women are holding up men. And if I understand correctly, if you go into the secular court for a joint property settlement after you have a get, the women all run to the secular courts because they can get a much better settlement, and at times it's totally unbalanced against the men. It seems today that in general there's that atmosphere in courts in the United States in favor of women, as we see on many issues. Well, I can't comment on what goes on in America, but the whole concept of holding up people for money in a divorce, I've said it time and again, that's this chinuch, it's education, we're fighting a tremendous battle. We spoke about Yontif Sheni. And nevertheless, Yontif Sheni Minyanim go on during normal years here, despite all the opposition from even from those who paskin. You have to observe a Yontif Sheni like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but nevertheless, it's a desecration of Kedushat HaAvira Shel Medinat Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. And nevertheless, you can yell from today to tomorrow, but HaKesef Yanet HaKol. It's unfortunate, but this is a fact of life. I'm not saying it's halachically forbidden. You can gedrei and come up with a poskim here and here and put it together, but it certainly goes against the basic spirit of the Dvar Hashem. So this concept of holding up people, torturing people, and I've been involved in it more than once. Chinuch has to begin at a very early age. I've spoken about this. I gave endless shayurim on it. And I suffer from the fact that my yutorah.org shayurim are not indexed. If they'd be indexed, I wouldn't have to repeat myself. I could just say, see the shir, etc., etc. But from an early age on, we have to educate to be a decent human being. Kesef lo yaneh takol. A person has to be above it. We're not gangsters, we're not mafia. We're shomrei Torah mitzvot. We're supposed to have love of God, love of fellow human beings. If a marriage does break up, just as I remember all the midrashim I quoted, I can't repeat it now, but just as you entered marriage in dignity, so you have to leave it in dignity. And this is education. Will it succeed? Look, I'm not naive. HaKesef Yaneh HaKol. It'll succeed in a number of cases, but not the majority. I did check, however, about the state of Israel, and I asked my eldest daughter, who certainly is one of those experts around after all her years as the first toe in it and a graduate of Hebrew Law School, etc. And she told me in Israel, it's totally balanced. It makes no difference if you go into a rabbinic court or go into a secular court. There is no alimony, which is in accordance with halacha. When a husband and wife divorce, the break has to be complete. You all know the sugyas in Gittin, they shouldn't even live on the same street anymore. There is child support, and child support is given, and there's a whole basic structure determining it with charts and statistics, and then the government enforces it. As far as joint property, my daughter told me, and this I knew from other cases that she's told me about, it's 50-50. It's very hard to have an arrangement either in a Beit Din or in a secular court where it's not going to be 50-50, a split down the middle. There have been cases with homes where people proved that it was their money, their parents' money. All right, then the court has to take that into consideration. But generally speaking, this is not a problem in Israel. The problem is when a man disappears, and we've spoken about it more than once, and there's a big development now, but maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. The state of Israel is doing great, great things in solving aguna problems. One other question that I received, and people are asking me, I should revisit the great debate that occurred between Mori Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Rachman regarding the status of a woman in modern times. And again, I've spoken about this at great length. I can only tell you my own conclusion after decades and watching people and speaking with people. And as you know, I'm no youngster, so I'm talking about 60 good years experience, maybe more. And the Rav held that even though a woman has come out of the ghetto and come out of the kitchen and she's part of the big world and she's self-supporting and she makes a living and all that goes with it, and many times she makes a better living than her husband, nevertheless, a lady wants to marry. The Rav held, Tav lemeitiv du me lemeitiv armala, it's better to grow older two than one, is not a reflection of society, economic reality, but it's ontological. It's part of the very basic part of a woman's gestalt. Rabbi Rachman felt that this concept has to be adjusted in view of the fact that in modern times a woman might say, better no marriage than a bad marriage or a stupid marriage or emotion, and a marriage that lacks emotion or not economically stable, etc. Well, this is a tremendous debate, and we've spoken about it so many times, but I only want to tell you my own conclusion is, and you can differ with me, but I think maybe I'm prejudiced. Once my Rebbe says something, I will do anything to justify his viewpoint, but I don't think so. I think the Rebbe is absolutely right, that all I can tell you is, and I've said this before, my wife had two aunts. Again, it's the typical American story. You see, I say, look who's running for vice president of the United States, and the children from his first marriage call him Mamala. Imagine what we've achieved, total assimilation, a Jew married to a non-Jew, and no Yiddishkeit, no feeling, just total assimilation into marriage. There was an article in the in one of the Israeli newspapers, Yediot or Mariv or maybe Israel Hayom, a week ago. I read it and just the aggravation is indescribable. But I say, what are you, Aaron? What are you, an idiot? This is America. This is an Israeli singer who wound up in America and married an American and lived in, I believe it's Beverly Hills. There's no lack of Jews and Yiddishkeit in Beverly Hills. But this is an Israeli and an American who chose. Maybe they observed Yom Kippur, maybe they didn't, maybe they chazar on Yom Kippur. So she raised two sons in America whose native, their native language, they only speak Hebrew to her, English to him, and each one married a non-Jew. And she said she feels bad, but there's nothing she can do. They're Americans. Well, there are plenty of good Jewish Americans who don't marry non-Jews, but if you don't give the kid any Yiddishkeit, What do you expect? My wife's family, fascinating. Everyone came to America from all her grandparents remained Shomer Torah mitzvot, but the children they raised, each one is a story. So on the paternal side, her father had three sisters, but two never married, very independent, conquered America. One of them changed her name, didn't even like the name her parents gave her, so she changed the name. It's America. They don't speak Yiddish. We only speak English. Integrated, made money, neither married. No man was good enough. No man was worth the effort of marrying. I can only tell you later in life, neither are alive today, but we used to visit them in Florida. They were senior citizens. And both of them confess the greatest mistake we ever made was not marrying. So that's, to me, is indicative. Moriu Rebbe carries the day. It's ontological. And this is one of our big problems. I spoke about it the other day when I gave the talk for Shvat Ami, the challenge of feminism. How do we retain the concept a man is a man, a woman is a woman? And with all the advance in life, we don't want to lose that differentiation. My grandson just told me on Shabbos, he met this lady. My grandson, he was frontline fighter, was wounded in battle. Kanayin Hara has gone through a lot, but remains, I'm a fighter, umit paher b'zeh. He's a lochem. And he tells me he met this girl on Shabbos, who's a frontline, in battle, the works, and she has hair on her hands just like he has. So you get the message. It's not exactly encouraging when a girl walks around with hair on her arms. I'll leave it at that. And this is the great challenge. How do we retain femininity? And I can only tell you, in my own family, I have a lot of granddaughters-in-law who are MDs or PhDs or getting PhDs. So one lady who came in Aliyah from Baltimore married my grandson, and they're getting a PhD from Hebrew U in, I think it's biochemistry. And when her eldest child was born, my dear great-grandson Eyal, she held the baby and said to me, "This is my greatest achievement." And I said to her, "You don't know how happy you make me. Because with all your scholarship and learning and knowledge, you have the basic values of what life is about." So I stand with the Rav. All right, now, we discussed the Yantav Sheni, and Jack said to me after hearing all my lectures throughout the years, he said, "It's amazing how you still come up with new material." Well, the truth is, if you keep on studying and keep on reading, new material is born every day, and you just have to keep abreast of it. We think we know it all, but life is life, and as I've said so many times, there's no life without responsive literature, and there's no responsive literature without life. They're a reflection of each other. And I want to move on to another topic. I want to deal with a few Pesach topics. The starting point is in Rav Menashe Klein, Mishnah Halachot, and here I want to deal with Mechirat Chametz, and I have to tell you, this topic to me is very personal and meaningful. If anyone who is listening or will ultimately hear the shir, and we're dealing with people going into the rabbinate, be aware that you have to take Mechirat Chametz very seriously. And let's begin at the beginning. According to the Torah, there's an Issa D'oraita, Bal Yera'eh, Bal Yimatzeh, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession on Pesach. Plain and simple. All right. The Torah Shebaal Peh, the Tosefta, I don't want to redo my shirim on Mechirat Chametz, but if you're interested, look into Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin's Moadim B'Halacha, has a very, very nice piece on Mechirat Chametz. Jews found it, it calls man, it's limited to your kitchen, there's no big deal. You take the leftover chametz, then you burn it, you throw it out, you're finished with it. I had one Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef Weiss, so he told us, Erev Pesach, he has a bottle of schnapps, half left, takes it down to the Harlem River, spills it out. So you can imagine the fish are very happy with Rav Weiss, and it is being makpid. But Jews found it very difficult, particularly when you get into business. And when I talk about business, you can go back to Poland, and you all know that the Jews were involved with the whiskey, schnapps, they were the middlemen, and you're talking where people are dealing with gallons and gallons of chametz gomor. So what do you do with it? So we already have in the Tosefta, you can sell it to a guy. Now, the selling to a guy went through many different states or steps, shlavim, be of writ. At first, what it meant, sell to a guy, you called in the guy who lived down the block, and you sold him your chametz. Later on, as you get involved with commercial manufacturing, it's no longer the guy down the block. You're talking in terms of millions and millions of dollars worth of chametz. So, for instance, in the state of Israel, there are people that have a chazakah, Druze, a Christian Arab, could be today a Mohammedan. You see, before Pesach, it's in the newspapers, the post office sells all its chametz. All the package coming in, they don't deliver. They automatically go into the reshut of the non-Jew who bought it. The prime minister sells the chametz. It's ceremonies. It's and the Gentile, and he's buying hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars worth of chametz. In the modern era, we can be as machmir as we want in our own kitchen. In other words, I don't sell chametz ben. It's minig Yisrael, certainly among the Litvisha. But I recognize, yeah, I don't sell chametz ben. I get rid of all my bread, all my spaghetti, all my macaroni. By the way, not all my whiskey. Whiskey, I spoke with the Rav, and the Rav said it's not chametz ben, it's tarovet. And he said, whiskey is not part of the minig Yisrael not to sell. So I don't want to sound like a big tzaddik who pours his whiskey out. On that level, I'm not. But chametz ben, I get rid of. But all of us today are samach on het mechira. You're talking Tanuva, you're talking the big angels, you're talking Berman, you're talking all these bakeries that bake, what they have in stock, what they have to put away for Pesach. So, b'di'eved, with all our chumras, we're all samach on Mechirat Chametz. Now, over the years, Mechirat Chametz became infinitely more involved. Why? The more chametz you sell, the more it appeared as a legal fiction, the more the Rabbanim wanted to strengthen it. And therefore we do endless kinyanim. You do kesef, and you do a hanschlag and kinyanagab. There's a whole star, a whole format. You set with signatures. Every type of kinyan is done to be sure that the non-Jew has bought the chametz. And when we say every type of kinyan, it's not just kinyan al pi halacha. Al pi halacha, yes, there are many kinyanim, but even al pi din de malchuta. Because those of you that have studied Choshen Mishpat or heard me over the years, remember I gave Shurimar, it must be 30, 40 years ago already in the Kollel, on din de malchuta dinner. Even the people, even dinner the malchuta dinner, kinyanim like a hanschlag. What is a hanschlag? Shaking hands. No, even this you have to do because this is an accepted kinyan today. When it comes to Choshen Mishpat, Dinah the Malchut the Dinah, it could be signing a shtar. That signature alone today is recognized in court. You all know there was the famous case on the Diamond District. We've spoken about it, at least when we did the Malchut Dinah, where a Jew, and you know, the Diamond District is in the hands of Chassidim, basically, Belgian Jews, Hasidic Jews. All right, today it's not the business it used to be. But at one time, wow, this was a major, we talk about Maria, the shul that supported the Rav's charities, the old diamond dealers. And how did Hasidim finish off a deal? Mazel u'bracha. So there was once a case where a Jew made a deal with, I believe it was an Afro-American, talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they said, mazel u'bracha. And then the Jew broke the deal. He evidently got a better buyer offering more money. So the non-Jew, the Afro-American, took him to court. And the non-Jew said, I said mazel u'bracha, we shook hands. The judge ruled, I don't know if it was a Jew or a Gentile, but he did his research, and the judge ruled mazel u'bracha completes the kinyan. The Jew cannot back out. This Afro-American is absolutely right. Mazel u'bracha. So you see, what we do with kinyanim and mechirat chametz, it's not so simple anymore, because the greater the sale, the more intense we want to make the kinyanim. It's one thing if you sell the chametz in your house to your next door neighbor. But when you're selling hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars worth of chametz, we want to be sure it's halachically, legally binding. Now, I can give you some advice. Again, I see sitting in front of me on the screen. I don't see any practicing rabbis anymore. But those of you that will practice, so I'll tell you what happened to me in my first year in the rabbinate. My first year in the rabbinate, I was shaking like a leaf. I mean, this is a big responsibility. You're selling chametz? You want to be sure you know what you're doing. So in Philadelphia, there were big rabbanim, accomplished nothing. It was a totally conservative city, but there were big rabbanim. One of them was from Ephraim Yalas, Cohen Yalas. He only knew Shas and every Tosfos by heart. And if you want proof that he knew it all by heart, he would sit in front of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and there would be thousands of people there, 770. And the Rebbe would be quoting by heart. He also knew all of Shas, Kol HaTorah Kula by heart, every Rashi, Tosfos, every word. I saw a number of Jews like this in Yerushalayim, Rebbe Avraham Kroll, for instance. And while the Rebbe is quoting, or at a Yotzai Shiv, the Rav, Yalas would be sitting up front too. His son-in-law was Rebbe Meir Simcha Feldblum, Zichronim Sadikim Levracha. He had beat ties to YU. And the Rav would be reading a Tosfos, not by heart, reading. He would be one line ahead of the Rav, one line ahead of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, quoting by heart. So I was friendly with Rav Yalas, young rabbi, hotshot YU guy. So I go to see Rav Yalas. David Goldis will appreciate this. And I tell him, Lerin Meis, V'daf min machan a mechiras chametz. Teach me how to do a mechirat chametz. He started being mefalpel this way and that way in Achronim. I walked out of there with such a headache. I want you to know, I called Rav Yosef Weiss. I made a special trip to New York to sit with my Rebbe from 53, 54. And he taught me Mechirat Chametz. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, what the kinyanim are, how you do it, beautiful. Now, the most important thing, and this is the heart of the issue, you're going to sell to a guy. You have to be sure it's a guy you can depend upon. Remember, we have time framework, we have time schedules. not so easy for non-Jews to understand that you can sell chametz to 10 or 11, and after 10, 10:30, 10:15, after that you certainly can't. It's not so easy. You have to understand. Shabbos ends 7:25 yesterday, Yerushalayim. At 7:20, I can't drive my car. At 7:26, I can drive my car. So the year before I went into the rabbinate, I don't want to mention the name of the Rav, Kvod Hashem, to be respectful, because his son is an Adam Gadol, but this was a rabbi, an Adam Gadol I felt very close to. I actually spent, I grew up in his house, I'll put it that way, at least part-time. So I made an appointment. I said, I want to be with you Erev Pesach when you sell the chametz. And he said, fine, come to the shul, let's say 9:30. Come to the shul, this is in the Bronx, within walking distance of my house. Or it could be I took the subway, the D train, a few stops. And it's now 9:30. And he arranged with the janitor of the shul. Remember, every shul then had a little apartment, at least in the Bronx, where the non-Jew and his family lived. And they took care of the shul. They cleaned it. They heated it. We didn't have air conditioning yet, but they heated it. They set up the seats, the lights, all that went with it. Cleaned up, set up Kiddush, cleaned up after Kiddush. And 9:30, the Goyis Nishta doesn't show. 9:35, well, this rabbi was starting to sweat. You have no idea. Time is ticking away, and here you have 100 balabatim that signed on for you to sell their chametz. Finally, he goes looking for the guy, and believe it or not, there's the guy. 9:40 in the morning, dead drunk. We pulled the guy upstairs to the office. We propped him up. My dear students, I hate to say it, if that mechira was any good, I'm a Chinaman. Plain and simple. A shota, the guy was dead drunk. Harry shaita v'katan altogether. He didn't know what he was doing. And we explained and we pushed and the shtar and we finished the at that moment I learned, boy, Ani, if you are going into the rabbinate, you better be very careful. Mechiras chametz is not child's play. Whether the Yankees win or lose, ultimately geit min hishtan in leaven. It doesn't really affect my life, my mental health, if I'm smart enough to understand. You win and you lose at times. But mechiras chametz, if that falls through, you'll see. You have made a fool out of yourself, the rabbinate, Torah Hashem Tamima, and the shilas that people will have, the chametz that they think you sold. Wow. So I'll tell you, the Eibish Talashnish, I went after every year the most intelligent Gentile I knew in Maplewood. College professors, principals of high schools, crackerjack lawyers, and all of them, Ohave Yisrael, they didn't know what to do for the rabbi. These are people with respect, a rabbi, clergy, a Jew in general. Good Christians respect the Jew. But I didn't have muscle. Every year I had a beautiful mechir. I have all the papers. 2-minute walk from here, my office. I have a file on Maplewood. 2-minute walk from here. I have all the papers. Every year, terrific sale. Bought it back. Totally reliable. New Mark, what do you think? Mark and Mark, I had only one problem. If you had Rothkopf, I should say, sell your chametz, you didn't live out the year. I didn't have mazel. Yet the guy I sold to in 62 died later that year. 63 died. 64. Finally, my next door neighbor, the principal of the big high school, he Baruch Hashem, survived my remaining years in Maplewood. But boy, did I take Smechirat Chametz seriously. Now, at one snafu, nothing to do with me, but until today, I not only remember it, I don't want to mention the name maybe there. I happen to know a part of the family lives in, last I heard and last I saw, in Tiberias. There was one family, and you got to remember, this Shaila comes up in modern times. This Jew was a Kohen from a fine background. Newick, Frum, his wife. But all right, they got involved with life, Shabbos. He owned a liquor store. So first of all, a tremendous Shaila. How do you sell your chametz, including your liquor store, if you're going to be open on Pesach? All right, Reb Moshe discusses it. Others, there's a whole literature. But let's say, be the Yevid, you do what you can. It's mutter. It's not the, you at least the chametz in the man's house, etc. He put it in the mail. Do you remember what mail was? I know, today we forgot mail. It came up now in America in the election. Suddenly people are waking up. There used to be a post office. In Israel, I don't think there's a post office left. It's maybe I get mail once a week if you're lucky. And it's they're very smart in Israel. Why have a post office if everyone is email? Fax, email. It's even, I believe the faxes are accepted today in court as legal documents. Could be email too, I don't know. They scan it, maybe when they scan it, it's totally legal. So why run a post office and lose billions of dollars? So in Israel, you all know what's happened. We don't have mailboxes. This branch, who would ever dream Machne Yehuda, that post office was always a shtibble. There were, you walked in, 100 people, chassidim, svadim, laughing, joking, singing, saying, shlichas, you didn't know what you would find in there. Today, it's closed down, garnished, mitgarnished. So, I get the authorization from my congregant, first day, Chol HaMoed Pesach. No? What are you going to do, the owner of the liquor store in his private house with all the details and with a $5 bill in it, a check or $5 in the envelope, and like first day, Chol HaMoed. Now, in the halacha, you're looking, I'll give you the sources, very makpid. You don't play games. Bal Yerod, Bal Yematzei. If you're over, it's you're over in Issa D'Oraita. And if you are over, it's a Din D'Rabbanon that after Pesach, it is Asa Bahana. Right or wrong? And even today, when Baruch Hashem, everyone is mevatel the chametz. Right or wrong, it's part of the ceremony. We search for the chametz Erev Pesach. This year it'll be Erev Pesach, because I understand Pesach falls on Shabbos. Or Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. Check the calendar. This year there's a Purim Meshulash, I'm told. We have all the unique situations in halacha this particular coming year. Halavai, it should be without Corona already. Gnug. So, you're Boidek the Chametz, Bedikat Chametz. At the end, Chol Chamir of a Chol Chamir, we're Mavatl the Chametz. If that's not enough, Erev Pesach in the morning, again, this year it'll be Friday, not Shabbos, but Erev Pesach in the morning, we're Mavaya the Chametz. After we're Mavaya the Chametz, Chol Chamira, Chol Chamira, we're Mavatl the Chametz. Well, if you're Mavatl the Chametz, it's not so terrible. Perhaps there's not a Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzei. were all mevatel the chametz, but the achronim were very machmir. Sale of chametz, bal yerov, bal yematzeh, you're dealing with a nisa d'oraita, it's not enough that you're mevatel. You must get rid of the chametz. You must sell the chametz. And if you didn't sell the chametz, even if you shout from today to tomorrow, I was mevatel, the chametz is still asa bahana. And the achronim will say, and you'll see la halacha, they're worried stiff, a person will be ha-rama. He'll act to fake us out, to lie. The average Jew who doesn't sell his chametz, you don't sell your chametz? Did you do a bedika? Did you do a beer? I'm willing to bet that more people sell their chametz than do a proper bedika, than do a proper beer. You could be lying. He got advice. His neighbor told him, tell the rabbi, you were mevatel the chametz. No, the average American, the average secular Israeli, what does he know about beer chametz, beetle chametz? The achronim were machmir right down the line. If you don't sell your chametz, even if you were mevatel or claim you were mevatel, that's not enough. We're dealing here with bal yerov, bal yematzeh. It's a nisa d'oraita, and therefore there is a din d'rabbanan, a knas, that after Pesach, the chametz is asa b'hana'ah. Not just b'achila, b'hana'ah, period. Okay. With that being said, here's my question from Maplewood come to life in a much more serious form. Mishnah Halachot, Siman Samach Zayin, Chelik Yud Gimel. Chelik Yud Gimel of the Mishnah Halachot, Siman Samach Zayin. No date, but it's written to a Rav in Brooklyn, Harav Petachia Fried Shlita, Rav Motze Tzedek Borough Park, Brooklyn, Neira Yair. Yishmerenu Tzuro V'Goalau. And he evidently knows him. He writes, Acharei Drishat Shlomo Atav B'Yedidut. How are you? With good feeling, friendship. B'dva ha-sheila she-sha'al ha-shamesh b'vei Knesset. So I'll tell you what the case was. And then I'll read it. Shamesh in the Bei Knesset. He was accepting the authorization for the sale of chametz. And this shamesh, this is panasa. You have to understand, I found in the Revel Archives that the elderly Rabbanim, I translate in English, I published it in Revel, some of the elder Rabbanim, when the young rabbis came into the community, they wrote to Revel, get rid of this young chick. He's interfering with my rabbinate. He's taking away my panasa. And he lists out, what does he mean, taking away my panasa? He's selling the chametz. People came into the Rav, arranged for the sale of chametz, left a $2 bill at that time, in my time a $5 bill. Well, if you sell chametz for 100 people, times 5, in my time, $500. What a figure of money. Wow. So this shamash is doing it. But he doesn't know how to do. What do you do further? What do you deal with the guy? How do you make the kinyanim? So he figured an easy solution. He'd send on the authorizations to a rav that he knew, Rabbi Fried, and let Rabbi Fried sell it with all his chametz. Fine. He addressed the letter, and he made a mistake in the address. And because he made a mistake, it took a few extra days for the letter to reach Rabbi Fried. You can visualize it. For the sake of argument, instead of writing 18 Berlin, where I live, they wrote 14 Berlin. Ponsman is no prophet. He sees 14 Berlin, drops off the letter. A nice person in the house sees the name Rakefet. No, he doesn't live here. He rewrites on it 18 Berlin and throws it into the letterbox. They pull it out. They deliver it. But all this, you lost time. The authorizations reach the rabbi on Chol HaMoed Pesach. No? Could Rothkopf sell the liquor store on Chol HaMoed Pesach? Can you sell the chametz? It's Chol HaMoed Pesach. And for the sake of argument, 100 people authorized this shamus. This is the question. What do you do? What is the halacha? Now, I want to tell you something. This description, the shamus, it's not so alien to me. I'll tell you why. Erev Pesach, go in to the big shopping centers here. You're in Israel. Go into Rami Levi. Go into Osherad. I've seen kids selling chametz. When I say selling chametz, I'm using the popular expression. It means accepting your authorization to sell chametz. Can you depend upon them? Do they know what they're doing? I'm not certain. I remember twice I stopped these youngsters. Once in Kanyon Hadar, right above Osherad, and once in Rami Levi. The one in Rami Levi, I am positive he didn't know what he was doing. You have to authorize him. You have to take a kinyan. You become the shliach. You have to understand what you're doing, what the signature's about. The one in Rami Levi, he seemed to know a lot more and understand. But every time Dick and Harry comes along and they can tell you very well they're not collecting for themselves, it's for Kimcha de Pischa. Yeah, so in a good day he makes 1,000 shekel and he gives Kimcha de Pischa, his cousin, his brother, his sister. Maisim me'olam, Jack, I see you laughing. I don't have to tell you about the shtiblach. And I can tell you in the shtiblach, the person who takes the authorization for the chametz, there was a psak that there should have been 4 people. You shouldn't have a choice. If you recall, I told you b'shat maisa, that psak will never be lived up to. Lo hayav, lo nivra, and kachave. So this person, he doesn't even pay attention. I notice he's learning a Gemara, and he tells you, sign here, and he tries to find a handkerchief, makes a kinyan. I don't know. All right, but the evidence is good. I took it so seriously, you have no idea. Where is the chametz, and I want them to have access, and I want the guy, and do you understand? If he knocks on your door, you have to let him in. All right. Again, I agree, this is all lachatchila. B'dieved, you have to know, if someone calls you on the phone, and the shaila came up this year, you can even take the authorization verbally, over the phone, impossible to do a kinyan, but knew what's the reason? Zachen li adam shelo b'fanav. It's a schut. You don't want the Jew to be over, b'al yirov, b'al yimatzeh, do everything in your power that this person should be able to sell his chametz. This year, my daughter showed me that you could sell online, and it was just unbelievable. You send in your pratim, type it in, and within 5 minutes, you get back a receipt for what you contributed to Kimcha de Pischa, and you get back an acknowledgement and a statement, and if you face your, you have a store, you print it out, and you can hang it up. It's a different world today. The truth of the matter is that the computer is doing away with the whole world. The whole world is shifting, particularly the corona spread it up, speeded it up, I should say. And you have no idea, the world will never be the same. Here, Zoom, who needs classroom? Who needs teachers? Everything's Zoom. Record it, video it, have it Ladora. Could you imagine if we had videos of the Rav, David, Rabbi Tversky, could you imagine if we had videos of the Rav in our time giving shir, and all yeshivot would go out of business? The only, okay, you agree with me, I'm glad, but I'm not happy about it. You need a live Rebbe, you need ongoing. I don't want to go involved now and get into Torah Shabbat Peh, what it's about. But could you imagine? So you should know, I know Balabatam that after 9/11 bought up downtown New York, we're talking billions of dollars. These were consortiums, these are big Jews who support Yeshiva University, Har Etzion. Their money goes to very good Shaarei Tzedek. These are wonderful Jews. You know that everything, and why were they buying it up? They were building offices discourse. Everyone's going to try to rebuild 9/11 to show you can't destroy America. We will not let them destroy us. And they bought it up, and good prices, and do you know that it's worthless today? You don't need offices anymore. Everything is the computer, the money that they're saving. People are coming in Aliyah. Their bosses are happy to get rid of them. Go to Beit Shemesh, go to Israel. You work on the computer, we'll bring you in twice a year for staff meetings. But what they're saving, office space, we don't have to give them cars, we don't have to give them lunch. You don't know what's going. Everything is changing. Rebbeinu Shalom. So was mitgedet mechiras chametz mendaf stiffen the rab. You have to help the rab. You have to give him a panasa. Everything will go via the computer. All right. We'll have to arrange stucca if you're giving already. Kimcha de pischa leket etc. We have good stucca here. Yad Eliezer. I can go on and on. Eizem mitzion baruch Hashem. Ah, look at this situation. The shamish sent it by mail, misaddressed it, and on Chol HaMoed Pesach, Rabbi Fried gets the authorization. What do you do? What do you do? Acharei Drishat Shlom HaTov B'Yedidut. B'sheila she'sha'al b'shamesh beit ha'knesset she'asul shliach l'mefirat chametz l'mitpalalim u'lefi she'en lo shem l'milim ka o she'en yedei eichlim ka. You see, he's being melamed zchut on the shamesh. Maybe he has no guy. To have no guy, New York, Brooklyn, I don't know, United States, name me a shul where there's no guy. In Israel, it's true, the kibbutz adati always went with the shita, they will never be samach on a guy for Shabbos. They went with the shita. No, you heard the shurim I gave on milking cows on Shabbos. The simplest eitzah, have a guy, milk the cow, tzav bal chayim. Nope, that's not an eitzah. We have to have a world where we have no non-Jews helping us. A Jew has to be self-sufficient. Look at the Rav's interpretation in Chamesh Drashot of Yaakov Yosef, who should get the bracha. Machlokes between Rivka and Yitzchak Avinu. Okay? Fabulous question. But when it comes to Pesach, if you don't have a non-Jew to sell the chametz to, the state can go under, the economy can go under. But maybe he didn't have a Jew, or he didn't know how to sell it. So he sent it on to a Rav who knew what to do. V'loba ad yontif ishan shel Pesach. And now the Rav turns to Rav Menashe Klein. What do we do? Ma din chamsan shel balei batim b'zeh. And look what we're talking about. You're talking about tens of Balabatim with Samech on the Shamas. The Shamas was a good Jew. They all felt the Shamas would know what he's doing. I sold the Chametz now in his hands. Maybe these people had stores with stock merchandise. We can be talking hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Chametz, if not more. What do you do? And this question, what about the Shamas? What's his responsibility? Could you imagine that if they sue the Shamas, this poor guy, who knows what type of living he made, half Shamas, half Schnorrer, you know what we're talking about. What's going to be? They can sue him. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Negligency. Didn't do what he was supposed to do. And then another question. Maybe you don't tell them. This is a shaila with the Erev, by the way. If the Erev breaks on Shabbos, what do you do? A lot has been written on it. But, by the way, in the state of Israel here, Yerushalayim, thank God now the Erev is much stronger. It's much better kept than it used to be. But I can tell you, someone can help me think back, but when we had a tremendous snowstorm, I remember one Friday they announced on the radio that the Erev is down, that they don't think they can fix it before Shabbos. And in Israel, right, the radio, the public radio, the same way the radio tells you what time Shabbat begins, what time Shabbat ends. So the same radio tells you about the Erev. But what happens if on Shabbos it breaks and you know, but others don't? Should you tell them? They're walking, they're carrying. And the question is even harder in a place like Israel, because there's always been an Erev in Israel. So people are totally used, murgalim legamre, to carry on Shabbos. If you start telling them you can't carry on Shabbos, they'll look at you. What do you mean? How can it be? Then I remember when one time the Erev was down, so people said it's a Haredi plot. The Haredim are fighting, you know, where they're not Samech on the Erev. The Eid Haredi has their own Erev. The Agudat Yisrael has another Erev. Here in Bayit Vagan we have a third Erev. True. But it's not a machlokes. It's simply the Erev is drowned. So what do you do? Here you have people. Let them enjoy the chametz. They don't know that it wasn't sold. Are you obligated to tell them? But this is the question. And it's not a simple question, because the achronim were machmir by mechirat chametz. Mechirat chametz appears to others as a legal fiction. Because it is so tenuous, no. Even if you mavatel the chametz, and notice this doesn't enter into the question, even if you mavatel the chametz, but if it's not sold, it is asa after Pesach. So here, I'll show you the tshuva that he quotes. Looking to, there's a whole siman on this. It's Orech Chaim, Kumuvan, Tav Mem Chet. And I'm quoting from Sif Katan Hey. Baruch atah Adonai melech haolam shehakol yehi bedvaro. Sif Katan Hey. By the way, Mark Wiener asked me, if you make a bracha on Zoom, can you answer me? It's probably no different than the shaila if you hear a microphone, can be yotzei megillah through the microphone. Latchatchila, we would be more machmir, but I think with the yeved, if someone answers amen, it's not an amen levatala or an amen yitalma, because you are hearing the person live, although it's probably delayed by seconds. But a lot has been written on this. It's the old shaila, hearing havdalah on the telephone. Now, what do you do if you have a grandmother who's in her 90s, and the only way she can hear Havdalah if you make it for her over the telephone? So I think b'di'evit people are mekil v'yesh al milah smoch, but it's an interesting shaila. All right, I want to quote to you Tuf Mem Chet, Sif Hei, Chomet shenimtza v'veit Yisrael ha'ha Pesach asua af al pi shebitlo. Even though he was mavatelet, and it's not really his, it's mavatel kafidiyara. But look, all that chametz is in your house. The guy doesn't own it. What do you mean you were mavatelet? We're very machmi here. Afapisha bitlo, it's forbidden. You can't eat it after Pesach. You can't have hanah. If you look into the Chof Yaakov, and it's one of the commentaries published in the Shulchan Aruch, the Chof Yaakov is Rabbi Yaakov Reisha. It's one of the great Achronim from Germany. Look into the introduction sheet that tells you all the Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch. Chof Yaakov, Me'agon, Malachtu, Kvoldo, HaRabbi Yaakov, Reisha, Av Beitin, the Kehila Kedoshim Mintz. He was the Av Beitin of Metz, and that was a very chashuv shtela. To be Av Beitin of Metz, you had to be a Gaon Adir. And the Kehila Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reisha, was one of the great Achronim. And he says, even if he was Mavatalit, why are we so Machmir? And he explains, Chayshinin Laharama, that we're worried he's faking us out. He's being a wise guy. He's being clever. And he says he was Mavatalit, and really he wasn't. But what we're really upset with this individual, the reason is, and he explains it, Kivin Shasa Shaloka Tikkun Chachamim. What was Tikkun Chachamim? Either you burn the chametz, you get rid of it, or you sell it to a non-Jew. If you didn't do it, then we're worried that there is dishonesty here. And even if you say you made it Hefka, and even if you can bring Adam that you made it Hefka, but if you had chametz in your possession, and it was in your house for all of Pesach, then we are machmir, and it is asa bahana after Pesach. The only time perhaps we could be more lenient is if you are an anus, force majeure. You couldn't help it. It was something that happened you had no control over. So that we see here in the Chok Yaakov, Ein Hachinami, if you have chametz in your possession, and if you did nothing, you claim you were mafkir it, you claim you were mavatil it, but you didn't sell it, we are machmir asa bahana. But if you're an anus, Anis Rachmana Patre. And there the Rabbanim want to help you. But once again, because we're dealing with Dinim D'Oraita, because we're dealing with Chametz, Shavah Lav HaPesach, we can't be Matar entirely. It's not that we can say to you, Anis Rachmana Patre, you couldn't help yourself, it's like this year. We can't say, who knows if the shuls will be open. I just heard now that the proposal is, what is it, 10 people in the shul, 20 people outside the shul. No, how many people can get the shul? So, Onis Rachmana Patre, they made early minyanim in my shul, where I won't be davening. They're making a 5:45 minyan on Rosh Hashanah. That'll be followed by another minyan and by another minyan. So each one will have 10 people. I can't believe it. It's a tremendous shul. It can sit 400 people over Rivka. But Onis Rachmana Patre, you couldn't say piyut. You didn't hear shofar, right? It's second day. It's only the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. We have it a lot easier than Mark Wiener in Chicago, because in Chicago it's a chiyuv on a second day for sure. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's a whole group of Rishonim, Talmidim of the Rif, Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there never was a second day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. It's a very interesting, there was a lawyer who was a police officer, was a frum Jew, Leon Katz, Seichet Tzadik Levracha. He got so involved on this topic, he did research. I have it someplace. He printed out like 100 pages. Maybe it was a master's he did later in Israel. And he showed how many Rishonim held there was no second day Rosh Hashanah. All right, Onis Rachmana Patre. But here, because it's Chametz on Pesach, here we don't want to say Onis Rachmana Patre. So what do you mean you want to help him? Ah, the chametz he can't eat, but he can be mevatel it for the sake of argument. Let's say it's in his store, and he has two new boxes of wheat flour or two new boxes of macaroni, so he can take and sell three boxes together, one from the slightly older stock and two from the newer stock. Could be in his own home if it's a question of cooking it and he can be mevatel it, could be we'd permit him. But it's not achila. It has to be hana and it has to be through bitul. And this is what the Chok Yaakov says. This is what he quotes, that if he was an onus gamur, we have to do what we can to help him. And then he brings down from another achron, Sefer Torah Hashlamim, and here a different description. And unfortunately, nowadays we can understand this. A Jew is in Tfisa be'erev Pesach. What does it mean, Tfisa? He was in jail. Jew was in jail, all right? When I was a kid growing up, I'd be flabbergasted. A Jew in jail? How can this be? All right, I needn't give examples in contemporary times, but suffice it to say there's one very wealthy community, at least before Corona, where the joke was, either you're going to jail, you're in jail, or you're coming out of jail. They used to say that there's always a Kiddush on Shabbos. Some people are going into jail, they want to say goodbye to their friends, or they've come out of jail, Baruch Hashem, they want to say hello to the Kehila. So this poor guy is in jail. And he sends a message to his wife that she should sell the chametz. So it shows you a frum Jew. What was his concern? He's in jail. I don't think those jails didn't exactly treat Jews bekavod. And he's worried about the Mechirat Chametz, and he sends a message to his wife. But here, gentlemen, you have the greatest proof why we need Chinuch, but not today. We cannot be against what the Chafetz Chaim started. His wife never went to Beis Yaakov. His wife never went to an Ulpana. This is a time where women receive no education. And the poor woman didn't know what he meant, sell the chametz. You know what she sold? Machra hamafteach. She sold the key to the house, evidently. That's what it says. I don't know what mafteach, what he means she sold the key. But maybe she said, sell to the guy, that the guy should know it's his chametz over Pesach. I've had an excess. And this poor lady understood about a key. She sold the key, and the guy finally gets out of jail, and he finds out his chametz, his stock, his business, nothing was sold. His poor wife misunderstood him. She sold the key, but not the chametz. My dear students, you have to help this man. And here already, there's no shchash ha'arama. He's not faking us out. This is not chicanery. This was what's on his mind. This is what bothered him. This is what troubled him. We have to do what we can. And this poor individual, what do? All right, bitul hachametz. Use it after Pesach, but you must be mevatel the chametz. And here I want to tell you something about this Jew in jail and what's troubling him, what's bothering him, the chametz. I want to tell you one of the most beautiful stories that survived from the Holocaust. It's written up in Rav Shimon Efrati's Sfarim. It's the Holocaust. I can't get it out of my mind, my thinking. Although Herbie went through with it, and I was a kid in New York, but I'm also a survivor. As I said, all everything around me, all my friends, all my classmates, a good deal of my research, what I'm working on now on Reb Chaim Oysa and Semple Sugihara. So you all know the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Gittin, actually, maybe elsewhere in Shas. But the Rav always used to say, when Rav Elia Prujana, when Mein Zayde, my mother's father, would sit down to eat breakfast, Skivena ganze tumul. There was a lot of noise, tumult, turmoil in the house. Tumult, turmoil is correct. Why? Because Rebellia had to know that all the cows and all the goats and all the chickens were fed. You can't sit down to eat before you feed. Rachamava kol masav. The animals have to be fed first. So Rav Shimon Efrati, the survivor, tells the story in one of his from, I think it's in Gay, I quoted it in my Shurim on the Holocaust years ago. By the way, I read those 5 years, the best Shurim I ever gave, the 5 years on the Holocaust. So Rav Shimon Efrati tells the story, or repeats the story, of a Jew is already being deported to Auschwitz. He's on the cattle car, and he's yelling to his younger friend, who's still going to be left behind, feed the animals that I own. I haven't fed them yet today. And could you imagine, that's what the Jew was worried about, being transported to his death. This is the same story on a much smaller vein, that here this guy is betfisa, He's in jail, and not a simple matter. And what's bothering him? Selling the chametz on Erev Pesach. And we have to help him. Here already he's an Einus Gomra, and we can be certain he was Mabatel the chametz. But nevertheless, to be Matir and Gansen, entirely we can't, but Beetle, and he can have Hanar, either himself or selling it. And here we come to a very fascinating tshuva that Rabbi Menashe Klein also quotes. And I'm going to quote it from the Noda B'Yehuda, from the edited edition in Israel. And here we could use Reb Chaim Soloveitchik or someone doing research. What's the greatness of my chaver, Reb Chaim, my classmate? His work on Stam Yenim is second to none. And he's the greatest expert in the world on the making of wine in the Middle Ages. So if this Shaila would have come up in the Middle Ages, he would be able to explain it in great detail. My problem is it comes up at the time of the Noda B'Yehuda, and there are words here that none of us can understand, but we can surmise and figure out what happened. I'm quoting from the Noda B'Yehuda, the Israeli edition, the edited edition, published in 1990, Orech Chaim, Siman Yud Tet. And here the Noda B'Yehuda writes, here's the Shailam. I'll tell you how I understand it, and you're welcome to look at it and see the words, Arendt, and the Westreise, and you have to understand what these words mean. But from what I gather, it's as follows. The Jews were always the ones, and this I know from my own studies in Bernard Rebel Graduate School towards my doctorate. So the Jews were reliable, meaning you had the prince who owned tremendous property. He needed someone to take care of the property, and he couldn't depend upon a non-Jew. Why couldn't he depend upon a non-Jew? It goes back to the start of the Shia. Why couldn't the great rabbi sell the chametz at 9:30? Because the Gentile was drunk. Gentiles love to drink. You see that in every TV series, in every movie. They love to drink. It's amazing. And they hold their liquor down. But nevertheless, when you're drinking, you're high. But a Jew doesn't get drunk. Only on Shabbos he makes Kiddush. The Gentile depended upon him. So in this particular estate, evidently it was an estate of where they made whiskey, or they made wine, grapes. The Jew took charge of the estate. Now, he had to sell the wine, had to produce income. But he has a big estate to manage. He's not prepared to sell to the general population. So he would move caskets of wine on to other Jews. He was the middleman. He was like the supplier. And the other Jew, he was the wholesaler. And the other Jew was the retailer. He sold to the public. Now here we have a case where the middleman, or the wholesaler and the retailer, both Jews, knew each other, lived near each other, and he moves on, and this may not be wine, it says Yash, Yayin Saruf. So this would be a good example, Noda B'Yehuda, Austro-Hungary, Poland. Jews were involved in the liquor business. This is one of the reasons all the researchers, the academics, the people involved in academia give for why the Mechirat Chametz developed into this type of Mechira we have today, which basically is a legal fiction. Nothing is moved, nothing is touched, but it involves hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in the state of Israel, billions of dollars worth of Chametz that the Goy Taka buys, and we give him a profit afterwards. Fine. So he moves the spiral into the hands of the retailer. And before the retailer sells it, he evidently samples it, and he says, this whiskey is not good. It is sour. Hayamazug b'mayim yotemidai. Now you see Reb Chaim in his volumes of scholarship on wine in the medieval period, he would tell you already how much water you can add, what would make it sour, what would make it go wrong. And the retailer wants credit for the barrel. He didn't open it to the public. He didn't sell. But he can't do anything with it. It's sour. It's not top quality. It doesn't have the same taste. Right or wrong, whiskey, people are experts. There's a big difference between a Scotch whiskey and what Rabbi Teitz's people try to do. Do you remember this herb? Aliyah. When they tried to make a kosher whiskey without any non-kosher wine in it, should it have been written. You can do a PhD thesis on this topic. And Rabbi Teitz's Balabatim started producing whiskey with Aliyah label. Aliyah, you get high. And Rav Teitz gave the Heksha. But they couldn't get anywhere on the market because their whiskey didn't taste anything like a good Scotch. Came from hundreds of years of knowledge, of caskets, of being in the caskets for 20 years till the whiskey's produced. And you all know what goes on with whiskeys, $100 a bottle. He couldn't sell it. He wanted to return it. And all this is happening on Erev Pesach. And the retailer sent to the wholesaler, I'm going to return it to you. The barrel is no good, but be sure to sell it with the chametz. It's your responsibility. And he sent back this message and pleaded with him and told him. And who received the message? Once again, a woman made a mistake, didn't understand what was happening, didn't understand what the request was. All this took place the day Erev Pesach in the morning. That Shabbat, they all, and it was a year like this coming year, Yom Shabbat, Erev Pesach, Kodem Mincha, the retailer and the wholesaler are davening together. And they start talking about the barrel of whiskey. Did you sell it with the chametz? Didn't you sell it? And World War III broke out. Neither one sold the chametz. The retailer, because he was returning it or intended to return it. The wholesaler, the lady who received the message, it was a garbled message. She didn't understand it. And wow, this Shaila comes to the Noda to Yehuda, Reb Yecheskel Landau. And he is hysterical. Why? Tell me, What happens on Pesach? You find a ringing in your closet. You forgot that you had ringings, drake cakes, I don't know what type of cakes here. You forgot. You didn't see it. You did Bedikat Chametz. You forgot it was there. What do you do if you discover it on Chol HaMoed? No, it's Halacha Psukah. You have to take it out and burn it. And here these people knew they had a barrel of whiskey that the retailer claimed was not good anymore. Rancid, too much water, not the proper taste. You knew about it. First day Chol HaMoed, second day Chol HaMoed, third day Chol HaMoed, fourth day Chol HaMoed, etc. And you didn't destroy it, you didn't spill it out into the river, into the pool, etc. You didn't get rid of it. What type of people are we dealing with here? And you should know that the Nodav Yehuda is very, very upset with them. Yotza lanu mizeh she'afim bitlu v'chayu shogeg o'onos afal pi hachi asa li'acha ha'pesach. And amnam lefisha ubdad v'idei en shayachat lezeh. You can't come in here and try to be melamed zchut. And you should know the Nodav Yehuda refused lahakel. He felt that here, yes, it was a mistake, it begins as an oinus, but once you discover the whiskey on Pesach, you know what you have to do. You have to destroy it. You have to burn it. You have to pour it out into Yam HaMelech. And they didn't do it. And once again, not a simple shaila. You just can't say it's only the Rabbanan after Pesach. Yes, it's Asa Bahana. It's only the Rabbanan. But this is a derabbanan where there's an Issa d'oraita, Bal Yerov, Bal Yematzeh involved, and he is machmer. Okay, we haven't reached the definitive conclusion. These cases are different. Here they could have burned it, destroyed it, spilled it out, got rid of it on Pesach. But in the case that the Mishnah Halachot was dealing with, there's nothing they could do. The man simply forgot to sell the chametz. It's a different type of question. All these people are totally innocent. All these people cannot be accused of chicanery. All these people acted in good faith. So, bidyavad. They have to be told. And here, because it's a total ones, Reb Menashe Klein will permit bitul hachametz. Have hana, eat it, sell it, only if you mevatel it. There has to be nullification. If there's nullification, so will be samach on the fact that perhaps they were all mevatel the chametz, every offered the ara, hefka, etc. We certainly can be samach on the fact that there was no chicanery here. We certainly can be samach on the fact that they authorized this poor shamus sell our chametz. So it's not as severe as the case that the Nodav Yehuda is dealing with. It's more like the Chok Yaakov, and Beitel may very well be the solution after Pesach. One question hangs fire. What about the Shabbos? What are his obligations? What does he have to do? Look at all the money he took. Mechirat chametz. Everyone had peace of mind. We relied upon the Shabbos. We're sure he followed through. And lo and behold, look what he did. And by the way, even with the solution of Beitel, it still costs them money. They have to wait, they have to try, they have to balance, they have to manage, they have to add up, they have to be sure there's nullification, etc. What about the Shabbos? My dear students, we will allow this question to hang fire, and you have a long time to think about it. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, I wouldn't miss the shiur for all the vaccines that will be needed around the world to get rid of the corona. What are we talking about? Billions of vaccines. I wouldn't miss it for all the rice in China. Tomorrow we pick up exactly where we left off. What is happening after World War II? How it affects Torah on the American scene. How the Rav becomes the Rav. Very fascinating. Setting the stage for the greatest controversy which we suffer from until today. Goes back to 1956 when it becomes public, but I'll show it to you in the 1930s already. How do we relate to Reform, Conservative, Synagogue Council, Mixed Board of Rabbis, etc. But you have a long time to think about the answer to the Shabbos question, because this is the final, tomorrow will be the final shiur into 1 week after Sukkot. If you look at your calendar, next week is Rosh Hashanah, Sunday. Monday is Tzom Gedalia. I'm not going to teach at my age already. I don't want to play games. I'll try to fast at least half a day. It's a lo pashut, because overrated dehydration is it's a problem. I was dehydrated a few weeks ago, and it's not a happy feeling. The week afterwards is Yom Kippur, Erev and Yom Kippur. The week afterwards is Sukkot. The week afterwards is Acharon Shel Pesach, Sukkot, and Ishru Chag. And everything is shut down here. Now, I'm going with the assumption that Be'ezrat Hashem, no matter what happens to us, a month from now or so, we can start teaching again. They're going to shut down. We don't know all details, but it looks like a good 2 weeks we're going to be shut down. I imagine that affects Chris too. I have no idea what's going to go on. But I trust by a week after Sukkot, at least schools will once again be open. So I'll depend upon Morty with the notice that he sends out on a Makkah Torah. I thank him very much. So I'm sure that we'll be up to date. If you don't hear from the contrary, everything is normal again. And I have to thank Yomo for handling the technical matters. So what did we do today? We almost finished. Have a drop more to go on this Mechirat Chametz that never took place. But it's a very fascinating Shaila. A life Shaila. It's real. It happened to me. I mean, where I was totally ones, nothing to do with me. Yet the male, first day Chag, here you have it, the Shabbos. And the Shabbos, and these are people like collecting signatures. I'm sure the kid who collected the signatures at Rami Levi or in Kanyon Hadar is not selling to a guy himself. He's going to pass it on to the Moetzah HaDatit. I hope he knows he has to pass it on with ample time for them to coordinate it and add to their list, and for them to sell kedat v'kedin on Erev Pesach or Erev Pesach, depending on the year. So this is a fascinating shaila. What comes next is unbelievable, because it's a Pesach shaila where Rav Menashe Klein and my dear classmate, what you call Dr. Grach, Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, are waltzing together hand in hand 100%. What an amazing discovery, I will show you. And if anyone knows Rav Menashe Klein's family, pass it on to them. Let him see that he's in good company. I don't know who considers the company better, Rav Menashe Klein, Chaim Soloveitchik. Good company, Baruch Hashem. I want to thank everyone for joining me. And what can I tell you? It's an interesting situation here with the Zoom and what they've done in Gris. You can't believe what's going on in the building, and wherever you turn, their plastic walls separating you. Ich hoffe, das hilft und das ist nicht wie Titan Bankes. I don't want to translate because I don't want to be arrested for being a cynic, but I think you get the message. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should only have a fabulous, the best we can do. Again, Eines Rachmana Patre, no one knows yet what's going to. We tried to make a minyan in our building, we couldn't get a Sefer Torah, we tried so many different ways. Right now I intend to daven with my son-in-law, sit with him in his cubicle, the shul he runs, but I don't know if he's going to run a shul, maybe 10 people in, 20 people out. We got to see what the Chukimu Gezeirat are, which we should know by tomorrow morning, depending upon our government or lack of government. And it should be a fabulous Aseret Yemei Tshuva with only Besorah Tova and Tshuva Shlema. A very easy Yom Kippur. So far, I don't know what the weather is, but the weather on Rosh Hashanah will be tolerable. It seems to be 30, 31.
27.
I read 31 this morning, and Yomo tells me 27. Halavai kedivrei Yomo. And then it should be a beautiful Sukkot, making the best under the circumstances. And until we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya. Morty, will you open it if there are any questions?
Okay, I'm opening it up. I have to leave. I'm making you host, Yomo, so whenever you stop, it'll keep on going until wherever you stop.
Yomo, okay. Any questions? Jack.
When I appoint somebody, a rav, to sell my chametz, I plan to sell all my chametz. And the note of Yehuda Tshuva doesn't seem to be happening. If either the wholesaler or the retailer does the Mechirat chametz, it seems they have to specify. If either of them sells all the chametz, there's no problem.
Okay, so what you're saying is the Shtam Mechirat chametz went through an entire process of development. Yeah. At their time, they didn't have what we have today. At their time, it was a much more legitimate sale. It had to be articulated. Then as time moved on and people already, you don't know the shyness in modern times. For instance, you're visiting every normal Pesach. What do they say? 20% of the country goes out, goes overseas, visiting, touring. Now what do? You're selling your chametz, the hour difference. Your chametz is being sold in Israeli time. You're in America. What do? The opposite, that Pesach comes in afterwards and chametz is being sold here earlier. How do you eat chametz? What do when the chametz is brought back? You have no idea. You know that once I made two different sales, once here and once in America. So in order to ameliorate the problem, the shtar becomes more amorphous. And exactly what you said, any chametz I have, any chametz I know, what I don't know, and it's all in the shtar. So today it could be the Shaila, the Noda Bihuda was so machmir on and so upset and that he had the chametz and didn't burn it. It could be today, b'dievet, what you're saying would be another sniff lahakel, b'bitul achahachar. Could very well be. But that's the story. And you should know the conservative movement, their whole conservative movement was built on Mechirat Hakarka Lishmita and Mechirat Chametz LePesach. If you read the Tshuva, just as you found solutions, we have solutions. But there's only one difference. All our solutions are on rabbinic law, not on Torah law. Meaning, Shmita B'Zman HaZez, the Rabbanan, Yid Gemara, Rebbe, etc. But if it's a Dioraita, then the whole Mechirat Karka doesn't get off the floor. The same thing with chametz. Once you mavatil and mafkir the chametz, you're moving into a rabbinic level. On a rabbinic level, we have a solution, Mechirat chametz. But it doesn't lend itself to driving a car to shul on Shabbos. There they assume the Oraita, not the Rabbanan. So be aware, this is quite a loaded topic. A great deal has been written. But Baruch Hashem, this is our approach. And a lot has been written on legal fiction in Halacha. But I always want to caution you, legal fiction can only take place when it's a Din D'Rabbanan. You can't use legal fiction when you're dealing with a Dioraita. All right, there's more to be said than that. The whole thing with kids suspected of Mamzeret, what we do lahakel. And there it's a Dioraita already, but whatever we do lahakel is also Dioraita. Lo yavo mamza vadai bikal Hashem. Lo yavo mamza. Lo yavo bikahal vadai, etc., etc. I'm paraphrasing the Gemara at the end of Kedushin. So be aware, everything is with the halachic context. You have to be a lamdan, a Talmud Chacham, a posek, to enable to give a proper answer, a proper tshuva. But it's all within halachic context. Okay, any other question? Mark Wiener, yeah.
The Federal Bureau of Prisons were in a modified lockdown. We're not sure how many within the prisons, and they're all different structures, whether we'll be able to have group services. So they encouraged us to buy extra chauffeurs, so in case people. We have a couple guys that know how to blow a chauffeur, and I'm training other guys.
So I want to tell you, it's the same thing here. There were advertisements, we need chauffeur blowers. Rabbi, what do you call it? Soha is going to blow shofar all over the country. Chabad is going to blow all over the country. But they also said, we're willing to teach people how to blow shofar. So you should know, I have one Einikel who we gave him my Malka's grandfather's shofar. And this kid blows. We made him a whole case for the shofar. But my only problem is my family is spread. That's life. Here I am in Rav Chaim Berlin 18 with endless capable grandchildren. What a tremendous shofar blower. What a tremendous Bal Korei. Others are Balei Tefillah par excellence with good voices. But they're all over the country. They're nowhere within walking distance of where I am. So, ein malasat, that's life. You have to accept it with a grain of salt. It's like that girl, like Dina Griscott, like that grandmother, that girl, I think of her 75. She was a young lady in my class. So, you know, it was so moving on Tuesday when these women spoke about how I inspired them when I was their teacher. So, she's in Mitzpenet Tufah. My grandson in Mitzpenet Tufah is going to be their fiyantev. He married a girl from there. He's a fabulous Bal Korei, but what doesn't help me. But that's life. People think you have so many grandchildren, so many talmidim. Doesn't help me. The closest shofar blower I have to where I live is I don't want to mention his name, but he's my dear chaver for over 50 years. We live in the same building. He's 89. His shofar blowing, I don't have to tell you, he needs a lot of siyata d'shmaya to be able to get through 30 kolot in one piece. I don't think it's happened in recent years. All right, are there any other questions?
Rabbi Rakevet, it's wonderful to be back learning with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Michael, everything goes through Morty Tarrigan. And I saw Steve Bresch.
I got the link.
Okay, and I saw Steve
Bresch. I got the link in terms of the ones that I missed, so I'll be able to listen to them.
Right, right. It's all on YU. Right. By the way, Nachum, I just want to tell you in passing, I know a lot more about Rav Adin Steinfeld from the Talmud, but not everything has to be said. You understand? It Kvod Hashem Hashter Davar. But what went on in the 80s with the hatred against the Hasidim, it was a very sad period.
You said you were at the Kesiga Dora and you said it's never going to happen again let me tell you,
I'll end off with this. You can tell your parents if they haven't heard it from me. In 1980 was the last Knesset Gedolah that will ever be. The hatred by then, Rav Shach, what went on with Chabad, it was unbelievable. But, you know, I figured as a child of history that there's going to be a Knesset Gedolah. I write about it in the Suva era, and I've spoken, taught. I said, I got to be there. How do you get there? Binyanei Uma can hold, I don't know, 5,000 people. 100,000 people wanted to come. So I learned one good Hebrew word, protexia. So I got hold of my friend Sal Shulzin Zichrono Levracha. His cousin was the world mankal of Agudat Yisrael. He's also gone, Gvirtz. So I told him, will you tell your friend Gvirtz, I want to be there. Aaron, you will be there. How do I get there? I get status as a reporter for Jewish Life. So now I'm in Mamish, the part of the building, the part of the Knesset Gedolah with all the reporters. I have a box seat. And there are the shomrim with signs on their back. They're in charge of order. And these are Gerich Hasidim. My word of honor, 6'5" tall, 6'5" wide. You wouldn't start up with them, believe me. And they're walking up and down, and I introduced myself. And I don't know, I was very naughty. I played the role. Anikon me America, came. Ani me a Jewish Life, holy smoke, tzatz. And I'm sitting here, so these dummies figured, this is a dummy from America. He barely knows Hebrew. He certainly doesn't know Yiddish. Okay, I'm telling you my word of honor of this story. When Rav Shach walks in, turmoil, everyone rises, and they're singing Shnot Melech, Al Melech, whatever the song is, Yosifu. And these Gera turn one to another. Eisha Ha'ish is a Reindukumen. At that moment, I know the Gemara and Baba Kama, when they sent the pig up, remember, they knew there'd be Churban Bayit, the two brothers, Aftalias and Hurkanus. At that moment, I knew there's never a chance for them to unite. Oh, was that a terrible time. But I give Rav Steinsaltz credit. He didn't fight back. No. He said, whoever returns, we'll give them the money. He didn't fight back, but the Eidech Harei did support him, and the Chassidish world, Ger, came out, and I have to tell you that they made he compared Shimshon HaGibah to Hercules. Who was he writing for? It's not the end of the world. She's so right.
It was for the army. It was for the IDF radio.
Yeah, it was for Machanayim. It was from Machanayim, I believe. Yeah. And I have to tell you, not the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what you jumped on him. Then they tried to find certain things, and an American Rav wrote, I tell you, and American origins in Bnei Brak, Rav Aaron Feldman, he's a yeshiva of Bnei Yisrael today. He's so different than his brother, Manny Feldman. It's amazing. But all right, everyone's entitled to their own derech. And he wrote, you know, with, he found fault with this in the translation, and this, and he had mistake. Pachim tanim that are really have no weight, but he conducted himself with such dignity. All right, he was. We all owe Rav Steinsaltz a tremendous debt of gratitude. And you have no idea, as I explained in my Hesped, what that did in Russia. And then he opened the yeshiva in 1990. It was still communist Russia, but the curtain was falling, and the Masach HaBazel was already shattered. And academically, he was part of the Lenin University. They brought him in, all right, and he did great things. You have no idea. It shouldn't be dismissed lightly. He, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, people traveled from all over Russia, a chance to see Israeli Jews, a chance to see observance. All right, the Ribbon Shem should give us strength. We should see another million Balei Tshuva Lekavod Ulatiferet. Thank you very much, Brooklyn, to you, and we got to clear the room there, already opening the door for the next class. Cult of Sela. Yomo, get us out.